Your true crime podcast keeps listeners on the edge of their seats. But here's the real mystery. Why isn't it making more money? Odyssey Creator Lab is here to solve that. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on the suspense while our sales team brings in advertisers and revenue. Stop leaving money on the table. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and turn your passion for true crime into real revenue.
Fun. Presented by Finley Roofing on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
We have a staycation comfort giveaway for you from Reliable Heating and Air, which includes a $150 gift card, a $150 grocery gift card, and a free cooling system tune-up. All compliments of Reliable Heating and Air.
Hey, man, who couldn't use a couple of fill-ups right now with the way gas prices are, plus the groceries? And we're going to keep you cool, man, in the summertime. It's a great get, so we'll do it next hour.
Yes, sir.
Aight.
Stay tuned. Right now, we got to talk to Mike Griffith from Dog Nation, theajc.com, being down at the spring meetings. And, Mike, we've been chasing you because I know, you know, you're covering a lot of stuff down there and everything that's going on. Anything new today? I know, you know, last couple of days have been exciting when it comes to all the things that have been said. Anything today?
Well, I think the big thing to take away from me today is, you know, there were no bylaws passed, but I thought it was timely that Greg Sink, he mentioned something called the commissioner's regulations, and that's a way they can change rules by an AD vote quickly. You know, bylaws require a three-week notice, but this commissioner's regulation, I think, kind of opens the door for change if, you know, if the SEC does decide, hey, you know, we want to start our own rules and enforce them. And I'm not saying that's going to happen,
right. But
– you know, there's some hitches with this new bill that I don't think that the SEC or the Big Ten are going to be too keen on when it comes to pooling media rights.
Yeah.
So right. If the conferences feel like they need to take control, they all have their own means to do that. And I did think it was notable that Sankey made reference to that commissioner's regulation, which I frankly had not heard of. I mean, it's always been there, but I guess I'd never dug deep enough in the manuals.
Yeah, we hadn't heard about it either. I was just telling Carl, Mike, before you came on, you know, you got some coaches down there saying, hey, we were told if we go to a 9-game conference schedule, we're going to get the 16-team playoff. And so it sounded like there's a mutiny or anything, but it sounds like some of the troops were a little dissatisfied. And they were sold a bill of goods. And then, you know, for the commission to say, we're a super – I know you got to pump your chest out, but it just seems like the Big Ten and all their buddies have got the high ground on this 2014 playoff.
Well, there's some frustration, and, you know, I don't know about the high ground because the Big Ten needs the SEC's cooperation, but also think about it like this, guys. If the SEC did, let's just say the SEC also wanted to go to a 24-game playoff. You know, one of the things they've been talking about here is data points. And saying that they need more data points on what that would mean in terms of the payout sounds a lot like we need more money. So I wouldn't be surprised if there was some leveraging going on by the SEC basically saying, hey, if we want a 2014 playoff, you're going to have to sweeten the pot. Otherwise, we're going to stick with 12 and ESPN's going to mean their monopoly is going to maintain their monopoly on the playoff. Otherwise, you know, you go to 24 and all of a sudden Fox Sports has some inventory. Well, Fox is in bed with the Big Ten. So, you know, you could say, well, maybe the SEC makes more money, but do they make more money and enough money to stay up with the Big Ten or get closer to the Big Ten when it comes to the rights package and the payouts to the schools proportionally to the Big Ten?
Were you surprised at Kirby's comments when he was like, I'm not afraid to stay, you know, of the conference standing alone? And it got everybody in a tizzy because everyone's like, would they? And Kirby is the voice. Mike and I talk about this, right? I mean, we could talk about all these other coaches in the SEC, longest tenured. Right, two natties.
Right.
I think when he speaks, like E.F. Hutton, people listen.
Right.
And so when he said that, it was like, you know, Mike, it was like, whoa, what did you get from that? Was that Kirby just, you know, was he being tongue-in-cheek or was he serious?
Oh, no, he's serious. You know, but really, you know, President Jerry Moorhead at Georgia has been saying this since January. And, you know, amongst the rule makers and, the decision makers, Moorhead carries a ton of weight. But when it comes to the lunatic fringe and the common folk, you don't really think about what league presidents are saying. So if Kirby Smart says it, you're going to listen because I think that filters down to the sports world a lot quicker and, you know, in more meaningful ways. But not like Kirby's just saying, hey, hand me a script. I mean, you know, Kirby's a Terry School graduate, and, you know, he runs his program like a CEO. He's educated on all this. And you think about it, Georgia is really in a leadership position. And I'm not saying that, you know, because we're on an Atlanta radio station, and, you know, and I primarily cover a lot of University of Georgia athletics for the AJC. I'm saying that because, you know, the USA Today says that Jerry Moorhead is the most powerful and influential president. Josh Brooks serves on the NCAA Oversight Committee and has been on the SEC Executive Committee as representing the athletic directors. And as you noted, Kirby Smart, now the dean of SEC coaches. So, you know, they've got some people in leadership positions that, you know, stand out among the crowd of NCAA types.
It was funny seeing the comments around the country. Oh, yeah, SEC's dropping the cupcake schedules, you know, before the final week of the season. I was like, well, yeah, as you, by the way, I was just up at Indiana, Mike, and I was invoking the Mike Griffith position about all the nonsense that Indiana plays out of conference at the Indy 500. But that's going to be it. I mean, once Michigan gets done with Oklahoma and Texas and Ohio State, we're basically going to have a lot of blah opening weekends, it seems like, around college football.
Yeah, and Kirby kind of sounded off on that. I wish I could have been a fly on the wall when Rich Clark, the executive director of the CFP, spoke to the coaches this week about, you know, selection process. And, you know, Kirby Smart said, hey, the data says if you play nobody and go undefeated in 20 games, you benefit from it. You know, wanted to point out that, you know, that there should be some immediate effect to the 9-game SEC schedule. Feels like the weight on that should be doubled, is what Kirby said. You know, he's noted that Georgia's been left out of the playoffs on a couple of occasions when he thought they had the best team in the nation. I thought that was an unusual, humble brag from Kirby. Usually doesn't say things like that, but, you know, it's a story that we got coming out on AJC.com that, you know, we're going to bring out a lot of the comments. And you guys know there was some mercurial stuff that was said by several coaches this
right.
week. You know, Mike Elko saying, hey, yeah, I want a 40-team playoff. I want to keep my job. And coaches are going to speak in their own best interest. And, you know, John Summerall, you know, talking about having two jobs at once, saying it was a, you know, a S-word show. You know, I don't think I can say that word on your radio station.
Close enough.
I could probably say crap. It was a crap show.
Right.
And I thought that was somewhat enlightening that the coach would admit that it was ridiculous that he was trying to manage two programs at one time. You know, Pete Golding basically, you know, calling out the hypocrisy of the NCAA. And, you know, yeah, he might have got caught with his, you know, hand in the cookie jar, tampering with a former Clemson player now at Ole Miss. But he points out, you know, weren't there schools tampering with Lane Kiffin when he was actively coaching? I mean, what do we call that? So the same people calling him out for tampering are essentially, you know, doing so themselves, only at the coach level, which one could argue is, you know, more pivotal for a team than any one or two players in the offseason.
We're talking with Mike Griffith, guys, from Dog Nation, all things college football. Look, the bill, Mike and I discussed mm-hmm. yesterday. Do you think there's real traction there with the potential of a bipartisan bill that would eventually get passed in Congress to eradicate or at least help fix some of the things that are wrong with what's going on?
I mean, yeah, there's a lot of good stuff in there. I mean, you know, when you talk about limiting athletes to, you know, a one-time transfer without penalty, I think that would, you know, solve some of the multiple transfer issues that have really been destructive to roster management and escalated, you know, payment, you know, beyond the realm, you know, making agents register and capping their payout on NIL deals at 5%. I think that that's also smart, wise, you know, if you can get some level of regulation and transparency there, you know, preventing schools from hiring coaches in season, the so-called Kiffin rule, you know, the 5-for-5 rule, you know, 5 season of eligibilities over a 5-year span and, you know, and kind of knocking out some of those 6-, 7-, 8-year eligibility players. And then, of course, the support of women's and Olympic sports, you know, and that was kind of the platform that Kirby took, you know, which I think a lot of UGA fans are going to be proud of him for that. I didn't hear any other coaches talking about, you know, the non-revenue sports and value and their importance. And, you know, Kirby, you know, kind of is a sportsman. I mean, obviously, you know, his wife played basketball at Georgia and, you know, his kids were very involved in athletics as well. And, you know, he commonly, you know, but this deal on the pooling of the media rights, I mean, that's the part of it. There you go. Well, they're not going to support that because obviously the SEC and the Big Ten, they have much larger revenue shares with their television rights packages. And they're not just going to punt that to the side because that came with a lot of investment, a lot of spending, and a lot of on-field success over decades.
Right on. Talking with Mike Griffith, guys, here on the Sweet James Accident Attorney Hotline. We were talking with Connor Riley about it earlier in the week. Mike, I want to get your take on it. I know it's early, but recruiting is still the life's blood of a program. Georgia is not in the top 15 right now. And again, it all varies from site to site. Is that a concern for you? Should Dog fans be worried about that?
Not at all. Not at all. I mean, you know, because look, we already know that the value of a commitment. It's kind of like when you go to the mall and see one of those old-fashioned gumball machines and think you'll get one as a novelty, and either the gumball doesn't come out or, the gumball comes out and it's not what you thought it was, right? And, trying to get a commitment, these days is mere posturing. It's a part of the negotiation. And, the reality of it is sometimes you don't want to play your hand. Sometimes you don't want a guy to commit too early, especially to a place like Georgia that's known for its talent evaluation, because what does that do? Well, it adds value to the player. And now all of a sudden there's other schools that are going to start negotiating with that kid and, trying to get him in-house. So it better to kind of keep it quiet, build close relationships. I don't think recruiting rankings really matter in May. I know they have in the past, and, that's kind of a historic thought. But, these modern-day times, and as Jared Curtis showed us, nothing really matters until signing day.
So I know you're down there at the spring meetings. I was going to ask you about LSU's AD stressing unity. Even after Lane Kiffin's comments, and that's a story within itself, whether you agree with it or not. And then I think it was Ed Ogeron who kind of doubled down and said, yeah, I was at Ole Miss. He's not lying. But the AD at LSU saying today, that the conference needs unity. You think that they have it?
Well, yes.
With the coaches? Okay.
I think to a degree they do, but I can't help but note the irony of LSU taking a stance on, anything is of that sort when you consider, that they're proudly wearing the black hat, right? I mean, Lane Kiffin and right. Will Wade, let's face it. Yeah. LSU doesn't mind playing the role of the villain, and they've been very aggressive with their hires, hiring coaches that, I think the word checkered probably applies to Lane Kiffin and Will Wade, and LSU makes no apologies. They're going to throw a lot of money at it, they're going to throw some mercenaries at it, and if they've got the trophy at the end of the day, nobody really cares. I don't hear people, every now and then I might hear a snide comment about Michigan and, their national trophy and, the validity of that in light of the, investigation into Connor Scallions. But, look, it's a man-eat-man world, dog-eat-dog world right now, and everybody's trying to get to the top of the heat. Can't say I fault LSU. They're hungry to win down there. They're invested. What did they pay Lane Kiffin? $13 million a year, and this is after a $54 million buyout to Brian Kelly. So, if they're willing to put their money where their mouth is and invest in the product, and gosh, what's that chicken brand? What is that chicken brand that their donor is? Everybody lines up for right now. Why is it slipping my mind? I should know this.
Purdue.
The LSU sponsor. What is the chicken chain?
Not Cane's.
Oh my gosh,
is it?
Canes. That's
okay.
It.
Yeah, the one that Stetson Bennett did.
If Raising Canes can raise enough money, right. now we're getting into sponsor attachment to schools, right? This is dangerous turf. I mean, I know people that wouldn't stop at Pilot Oil stations because the big Tennessee founder. We're getting to that point. Right now, we're into a whole other ball of wax when it comes to corporate sponsorships and the complications with that.
Yeah, man. I know that it's a long way to go, and some of it say it's just political grandstanding. I don't know where it would go, but as you said, I said to Carl a dozen times yesterday, that money option, there's just no way that people that have gotten things where they have it with the Big Ten, the SEC, are going to be pooling that money. Not to mention, imagine the ACC pooling what little money they're making on their crappy TV deal.
Yeah, I do need to have some full disclosure here. I mean, I am a journalist, and
journalist.
I do live in the county where I do live in the county where Zaxby's was founded, and I am in Chick-fil-A country here, and of course, we all enjoy Chick-fil-A and Zaxby's. So nothing against Raising Cane's. It's a pretty good product. I was just noting its attachment to LSU.
Right.
To your point, look, guys, it's a mess right now. And there's going to need to be some rules changes at some point. At this time, it does not appear that, the congressional involvement is going to be able to move the needle before the start of next football season. And the only question that I have is, does the SEC act? And do they take a leadership role with rules? And I don't believe it would be the SEC standing alone, by the way. I think the Big Ten, there were some comments made at Big Ten Media Days last week, about establishing some conference policies. And, if you get the SEC and the Big Ten on board, get all the schools to agree that, you know, every time a rule goes against you, you're not going to run to your state attorney general and go to court and try to get an injunction. If you can do that, you know, you've essentially achieved, what a large, portion of this bill is intended to do, and that is to provide some antitrust protection for these schools, for the conferences, for the NCAA, to operate and to make its own rules, right? The big key is getting everybody on board, and how do you do that? And if it needs to come, if it needs to emanate from the conference level with some, rules and enforcement that can bring a sense of order, then so be it. Because so far, Congress has laid an egg on this despite, President Trump's efforts.
Great stuff as always. Mike Griffith, tell the people where they can follow you at, man.
Yeah,
Looking for something smart, soulful, and full of heart? I'm Jen Hatmaker, host of For the Love, the podcast where we talk about what really matters. Love and family, faith and purpose. Every week, I'm joined by incredible guests for honest conversations that invite all of us to live with more intention, more laughter, and more connection. Join us on For the Love wherever you get your podcasts.
Check out AJC.com. I mean, we've got a ton of stories on AJC.com on this, and we've got a nice subscription special running right now where you're going to want to stay plugged into this. I mean, these really are historic times, and there's a lot of exclusive material in there. I had an opportunity to visit a lot with Jerry Moorhead and Josh Brooks and Kirby, some one-on-one time, and you get some real insight. We're going to be talking about blocking and tackling real soon, but right now, the collegiate landscape is shifting beneath our feet.
Great stuff. Mike, we'll talk to you next week, man. Appreciate the time today.
Appreciate it, guys.
All right, man.
History That Doesn't Suck is a legit, hard-hitting American history podcast told through entertaining stories. Join me, Professor Greg Jackson, for History That Doesn't Suck, an Odyssey podcast, available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.